We are still in a season of new, still enjoying maybe the new gifts that we received at Christmas time. People have started maybe some new practices in this new year as it's rolled around. I made a note over this last week, people still greeting me with Happy New Year. And as I went into an office this week to sign something and date it, they were clarified with me, made sure that I knew it was 2018 before I put 17 on there, which I probably would have put 17 on there if they hadn't reminded me. But we were in this time of new things happening in our lives. And our passage this week, our main text this week leads us to that thought of new in context and description of covenant and this word that we've already heard this morning in worship. Covenant's a word that we can find throughout the Bible. It's talked about in the story of Noah, that God made a covenant with a people never to again flood the earth, and giving them that reminder of that covenant with the rainbow. And we still have that reminder today in our lives. And it's an important reminder. We were walking yesterday in our neighborhood, and the neighbor had their sprinklers on, and the sun was hitting it. And my daughter, youngest daughter, she was excited. A rainbow, Mommy, a rainbow. And that excites us, doesn't it? To see the rainbow, to be reminded of God's presence and his promise to us that comes through that rainbow. God made a covenant with Abraham that he was going to make Abraham into this great nation, blessing him, giving him as many offspring as there were stars in the sky. And one that takes great length in the Bible, beginning in the book of Exodus and then throughout Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy being fleshed out in those books, is that covenant that God made with Moses and with the Israelites. God was going to bring them out of slavery that they were suffering in the midst of in Egypt, and he was going to take them to the promised land that he had for them. And their part of the covenant was then to follow the commands and the laws that he would give to them. Covenant was a promise that God made with people. It was an agreement that he had with them, something that he initiated himself. But to understand it as just an agreement is not coming to a deep understanding of what covenant meant for them and what it means for us. For covenant with God was, and it continues to be, about relationship. God wanted to be in relationship with his people. He had them in mind. He had their best interest in mind of how the two of them, how he could be in relationship with them, but also then how people could be in relationship with each other. What was experienced over and over again, though, was this fact that people did not always keep their part of the covenant. It's this continual message from the prophets in the Old Testament calling the people back into the covenant, maybe heeding warning to them and giving them some instruction about how to change their behavior. And Jeremiah is one of those prophets that speaks boldly to the people about how they've broken the covenant, how they've not lived up to their part of it. In Jeremiah 11, we read these words that the Lord said to him. The Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Listen to the terms of the covenant and follow them. From the time I brought your ancestors up from Egypt until today, I warned them again and again, saying, obey me. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubbornness of their evil hearts. So I brought on them all the curses of the covenant I had commanded them to follow, but they did not keep. Then the Lord said to me, there is a conspiracy among the people of Judah and those who live in Jerusalem. They have returned to the sins of their ancestors who refused to listen to my words. They have followed other gods to serve them. Both Israel and Judah have broken the covenant I made with their ancestors. So there was this just continual behavior that God experienced with the people that he had made this covenant with, that they did not keep their part. The covenant broken. The Lord reminded Jeremiah that he told the people to obey him, to do everything that he commanded, but they just would not listen. They went their own way. They thought maybe they had better ideas, or there were so many different things offered to them, ways that they could go and things that they could follow. They would begin following and worshiping other gods. They treated each other harshly. They didn't care for each other and love one another as they had been told. And with their eyes off of God, they then experienced some natural consequences that happened. They were being attacked. They were taken into exile. They were being punished for not following the covenant that was made. And they found themselves in this position in life, a very tragic position in life. And Jeremiah had been warning them, but the warning just fell on deaf ears, the relationship broken. In the midst of all of this, though, in the midst of the bad news and the destruction, Jeremiah fearing for his own life, there's a message of hope. As only God can do, hope is seen in the midst of despair. It's like a light that shines in the darkness. For God has a plan. God has a plan to bring them back. To bring them back from captivity, to restore to them to their land. The Lord acknowledges and he points out to Jeremiah that the wound that they have experienced, it's incurable. That the injury, it's beyond healing. That the guilt is great. The sins are many. But God says that he will restore them. He will heal their wounds. He will give them songs of thanksgiving and rejoicing. He will add to their numbers. He's even planning to bring them honor. God does allow to happen what happens when people go astray. They did receive some consequences of their behavior. But God does not allow their behavior, our behavior, to dictate who he is. For he's God, a God of relationship, a God who Scripture tells us is love. And over again, we read in the Psalms that his love, it endures forever. He loves his people. He's full of compassion and mercy. He provides. So he's not going to just leave them. He's not going to leave them forever. End of covenant, end of relationship. As I was thinking about this relationship, I was thinking about my relationship with my children. And specifically at this time in life, with my 4-year-old. Who's going through a time in life. She continues these behaviors over and over again that she knows that she's not supposed to do. And so we continue to talk to her and redirect her and do all the positive, proactive things, right? But sometimes it just gets to that point where the punishment has to happen. And usually when it gets to that point, we then hear the words and the plea, "I won't do it again." But the line has been crossed and the consequences of punishment have to take place. And in reality, she's probably going to do it again. But after the punishment has happened, or maybe some kind of natural consequence, like she gets hurt doing what she was told not to do, it's not like I just walk away from her. Like I'm done with the relationship with her, right? I mean, she's my daughter, I'm her mom. We have this relationship of love. We have a covenant together. It's about just that. Relationship and love. And although I don't have the ability to love like God loves and my compassion quota is much lower. I get it. He's not going to just leave the people. The people of the past, the people of today. In the midst of that tragic situation that Jeremiah was speaking into, there's hope. God is going to restore and he's going to heal and he's going to put songs in their hearts. That is who God is. So in the midst of this message of hope that God gives to Jeremiah, we find these words. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them up by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was husband to them. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor and say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is good news. God realizes, you see, that the old covenant, it did not work. People could say, "I won't do it again." But in reality, they will. You see, the covenant was written on stone tablets, that covenant that they had with God, written on stone tablets. It reminds me of days when I was a school teacher, and some of you have been school teachers or been in classrooms. And in the beginning of the school year, the first day, you make note of, and maybe sometimes even write together, rules. Rules of the classroom. It's on a bulletin board, maybe make it look nice and presentable, and it's there for all to see, the rules of the classroom. But rules in this covenant is written on the outside. The covenant was written on those stone tablets. But you see, this is a heart issue. It has to be more than just something written on the outside, but it has to be something from within. For Jeremiah 11, I read earlier, it said in that text, they followed the stubbornness of their evil hearts. So it's a heart issue. It's not just enough to have the laws written on the outside, to have the laws written on the stone tablets, an object outside of themselves. It must be written on their hearts, because then it is a part of who they are. It's a part of who we are. So the time, Jeremiah was saying, was going to come, this time of hope when God was going to put the law in their minds, put it on their hearts. It was going to be within them, transforming them, guiding them from the inside out. That was and it is the only way. It's then that the reality of "I will be their God and they will be my people" can really come to fruition, and the relationship be a covenant in that way and be lived out and experienced fully. And all this can be done. A new covenant made, hope in the midst of brokenness because of forgiveness. God gives this promise of time, of restoration, that he will forgive their wickedness, he said, and remember their sins no more. God is going to forgive their sins so that the renewal and the restoration of the relationship can take place, so they can live in that covenant together. And he takes that forgiveness to the point of forgetting it. He's going to forget the golden calf that they built. He's going to forget the murmuring and complaining that they did while they traveled from slavery to the promised land. He's going to forget how they worshiped other gods. For the sake of relationship, to make with them a new covenant. When we share in Holy Communion together, we share in words that say this: on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. And he gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." The new covenant, Jesus, poured out for you and for me and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 7 confirms this, that the law written on the stone tablets could not make anyone perfect, but a better hope is offered by which we can draw near to God. Jesus is the guarantee, it says, of a better covenant. It's a covenant that expresses God's love for us, his forgiveness, that invites us into relationship, that invites us into life abundant and life eternal. So we're invited. We're invited into relationship with God, into the new covenant through Jesus who died our death so that we could be forgiven. Our sins remembered no more. So today, as we remember who we are, as we remember the covenant, the new covenant God has offered to us to write his law upon our minds and in our hearts, that it might be who we are. Do we accept that invitation? That invitation to be in covenant relationship with God. To be in covenant relationship with one another. To experience God's love and his forgiveness in a life-transforming way that works from the inside out. I have a relationship with three other clergy women, and we call it a covenant relationship. We formed it years ago, and we talked about in that what we wanted it to look like. We kind of fleshed out what that meant to us. What does it mean to be in covenant with each other? What does that look like? What do we expect of each other? And so we began this relationship. We began getting together several times a year, you know, away from our homes and our families and getting together for worship and prayer and time together and celebrating and sharing together in life. And I have to admit, we do a lot of eating, too. So it's a good time around the table, though, right? There's something scriptural about being around the table together. And so we spend those days together. And I've watched over time how the group has evolved and who we've come to be, that we've grown in our relationship, that we've grown in the covenant. The last time we got together, it appeared to me, and I experienced a more intimate time where we shared places in life where we were being tempted, where we shared sins that we had lived, where we shared, yes, joys and the good things going on in our lives and our kids' lives and our husbands' lives, and what we shared deeply about our calling and who we felt like we were called to be and some of our struggle even in our call with one another. And it was a conversation at a level that was much deeper and more intimate than it had been years ago when we started and formed the covenant. And isn't that how it is with us in our relationship with God? If some of you, like me, we started our covenant with God years ago, decades ago. Some more recent. But what should happen over time is that as we grow and as we continue in the relationship, that we continue to experience more deeply God's love, that it continually transforms us, and that we continue to grow and to commit ourselves to the covenant that we have made with God. That he will be our God. He and he alone will be our God. And that we will be his people. So today, as his people, we may need to ask ourselves, are we continually allowing this covenant relationship to be strengthened as we grow deeper in love with God, and as we grow deeper in love with one another? Would you pray with me? Loving God, I thank you for your desire to be in relationship with us, and that you have given us this opportunity to be in covenant. It is not always easy. Might we just say that now? But it's who we want to be. People in relationship with you. People in relationship with one another. Living in the midst of your love. Loving you and loving one another. For that is who we are. We are yours. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, it's us. It's you and me that he's sending. He's sending out into his world to share this love, this covenant relationship. In Jeremiah's words to those people, it said that that the love, this new covenant relationship was for all, from the least of them to the greatest. It was for all people. So we go from this place to share this relationship, this love, this invitation with all people. So as God sends us, we go in his grace, in his love, in his forgiveness. Amen.